one, the attempted Trump assassin did kill. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. A funeral is about to start to lay Cory Comparator to rest. Those are motorcycles in the procession to the church to honor the firefighter.
Comparator died in the gunfire while using his own body to shield his family from the bullets. Now, after Corey's funeral at this church, there will be a procession. Organizers say as many as 500 fire trucks.
Fox's Jonathan Sarri in Cabot, Pennsylvania.
Sources tell Fox News former President Trump wanted to attend the funeral, but the Secret Service said no because of concerns about securing the wooded area behind the church.
The former president paid tribute to him last night.
He was a highly respected former fire chief, respected by everybody.
He led a moment of silence at the Republican convention, kissing Corey's fire helmet that was on the stage. Former President Trump also called for unity, accepting the Republican nomination.
As Americans, we are bound together by a single fate and a shared destiny. We rise together. Or we fall apart.
Though he was very critical of Biden policies vowing to fix inflation and illegal immigration and end wars. Now, President Biden's campaign keeps insisting that he'll not drop out of the race after a 23rd Democrat in Congress publicly called for that, worried about the president's mental fitness. And President Biden put out a statement that journalism is not a crime, reacting to Evan Gershkovich's conviction today at an espionage trial in Russia, saying he's pushing hard to get the American released. Gershkovich got a 16-year prison sentence. The Wall Street Journal's publisher calls it disgraceful and Evan's not a spy. It's now nearly 6,000 flights canceled or delayed in the U.S. alone after a global IT outage, also affecting banks and hospitals.
It's related to Microsoft and the company CrowdStrike, where the CEO there today said this is not a security incident or cyber attack. The issue has been identified, isolated, and a fix has been deployed.
Fox's David Spunt. America's listening to Fox News.
Progressive presents 10 things on a food truck owner's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Stocking the fridge, prepping the stations, finding employees that get along well, finding employees that actually do their job. Looking at you, Gary. Balancing the books, balancing the flavors, having a fresh menu and fresh produce and fresh meat, but never a fresh mouth. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Hey, you've heard me say that cell phone service with Pure Talk is half the cost of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, and you think, okay, Hannity, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Just ask the thousands of listeners who have made the switch of mine, and they love Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service, the great coverage on America's most dependable 5G network. Dial #250, say the keyword save now to start saving now on your cell.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Scott Gross. A little justice in Yuma courtroom for the family of popular Somerton bartender Leo Melendez. Melendez was murdered in his own garage in May of 2022. One of the suspects involved in his death, 23-year-old Gregorio Cota, was sentenced to 18 years in prison for the killing of the 27-year-old barber. Cota accepted a plea agreement, pleading guilty to second-degree murder. The other suspects in the case, Gregorio's brother Joshua and Johnny Valenzuela, will be back in court next month. And the Gethsemane Ministry has resumed its food dispensary operations in San Luis. Despite some backlash from neighbors, the city says the ministry violated many ordinances in the neighborhood where it was located. This month, the ministry announced it's back, helping the community, but with certain restrictions. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Scott Gross.
We've got an excessive heat warning back in our forecast for Friday and Saturday. Daytime highs both those days, 111 with sunshine. Nighttime lows around 88. Sunday, sunny and 109. Monday, sunny and 107.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, in studio with Russ Clark. Good morning.
Good morning.
A little AC/DC Thunderstruck
action.
Yeah,
you knew what that was, didn't you?
Come on. You can't get me with those. Are you kidding me?
I do try.
You know, little edgy there. But, oh, gosh, we got so much stuff to do. And everything seems to be edgy, and this is when we need to start focusing on everything. Off air, you were telling me about, you know, people who had said, oh, wealth has grown in the United States.
And the thing was, over the last 4 years or so, the wealth has gone way up. Of course, that confused me. It confused me because I know a lot of the numbers as far as savings accounts have dipped way low, which means people are having to tap into savings because of the economy and the inflation.
Savings is down.
Credit cards
are up.
Way up. Like, was it $1.1 trillion now? $1.1 trillion. So that tells me,
with a T.
That tells me, like, savings down, and what's the wealth growing, that it's so wonderful and joyful? Well, because the prices of the houses have gone up so much, like 30% in 1 year in Arizona, right?
Let's call it 30% over 2.5 years.
In 2.5?
1 year it was 25.
One year was 25, last 2.5 is 30. So, yeah, they've grown up dramatically. They said, well, all that. And I said, well, that doesn't help you at the dinner table.
No, it doesn't put gas in your tank.
No.
It doesn't help you at the dinner table.
No.
It doesn't help you budget. And I had a gentleman that I know that said something similar. He said, oh, look at how much our retirement accounts are doing. You know, we're doing really good. And you think, well, wait a minute. That only helps somebody who had a decent amount of money in a retirement account. If you're a 22-year-old just getting started at a company that maybe offers a 401k, if you've been contributing to it for 6 months, your wealth is not growing exponentially like this gentleman's did. You know what I mean? So, again, some of those comments really are, it's nice for one person to think your wealth has grown. It's nice for one person to do well. But that's 20, 30 years worth of investing in stocks, bonds, et cetera, for the one gentleman. And the other is, you're not going to get ahead with real estate unless you buy real estate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
And if you're renting a house, it didn't help you.
Well, over the last 2 years, you know, I could say it till I was blue in the face, but how many people did you hear say, oh, I'm going to wait to buy until rates come down?
Not as many as you, but I heard it.
And you say, geez, you know, everybody who gave that advice over the last couple of years, A, you missed out on that 25, 30% appreciation over the last couple of years, and you didn't have the wealth put away, but what's the alternative? You just paid all that money into rent, and it didn't do you any good. Now, you do have mobility, and you do have the flexibility and freedom to move where you want to go instead of being locked into a house. But why are so many people looking at a very small nugget of information and saying, okay, that makes it worthwhile? Whether stocks and bonds are up or down, does it matter to you today, right now, Russ? If stocks and bonds doubled in price and the value doubled, does it matter to you today?
No, it's not going to make me say, good, I can go on that vacation.
So you're not going to cash them out and kill it off today? Okay, if they dropped 50% today.
Makes me cry.
Makes you cry. Why?
Well, because it affects everything, I think.
But it didn't affect you because you're not pulling it out today.
Correct.
So, you know, we
look at... But it's a scary thing.
It is scary. Okay, so now we're talking about it's an emotional thing, not a tactical thing, because whether your home is up or down in value only really matters when you're going to do two things. You're going to refinance it and pull money out, or you're going to sell it and move on, right?
Right.
So if you lived in a home right now that was worth $100,000, and that's the only home you own, Russ, and next week it's worth $1 million, are you moving out?
No.
So you still need to live there because you need a roof over your
head. I need a roof, and I'm assuming that if I go down the street, it's going to be the same price.
So if you sold it to cash out, now you got to buy in at the exact same time.
And unless they find that my house is valuable for some other reason, but if it's just a normal value, everything's the same.
Yeah, it's not valuable. The gold and oil underneath your home, you sold off the mineral rights when the land was sold to you, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, when you hear those things, here's the take for me. It's an individual person, and it's an individual budget. It doesn't really matter what the stock market's doing because I can't control it. It doesn't matter what the home prices are doing because I can't control it. But I can control my personal budget. I can control a five-step process. I mean, shouldn't everybody in this country get wealthy over about 25 years?
Oh, gosh, I would hope so.
Okay.
I mean, it's available.
It's available, and here's the simplest process that I can give. So I don't want to hear a talking pundit head saying, oh, wealth in this nation has gone up because a group of people had money in 401ks, or a group of people may have done certain things. Here's the plan. You ready? Freest thing I'll ever give. Here's the plan. If you're 25 to 30 and you've established a career, go buy your first home. You put 3.5% down, you do FHA, put a little bit of money in, you live in that home for 2 to 3 years, okay? Over 2 to 3 years, could you save 5% down for, let's say, just to use a rough number, a $300,000 home?
Oh, yeah.
5% of 300,000 is 15 grand. Save up another 15 grand over 2 to 3 years. So in 2 to 3 years, you move to the new home, slightly bigger, not much, turn the old home into a rental. You're not going to make much money. Why? Because you didn't put a lot of money down on it. But if it's break even to positive, you know, you don't want to be negative. But if you've got $100 a month coming in, cool. You better be able to cover the payment. So have a little bit of reserves.
And fix the roof.
And fix the roof, those kind of things. But now, in 3 years, you own two homes. 5 years later, you go buy another home. You turn the second one into a rental. 5 years later, you turn the third one into a rental. You're living in your fourth house. 5 years later, you buy your fifth house. Again, 5% down. You own four rentals. It takes you 23 to 25 years to get that done. If you owned five homes over 25 years and each home never goes up in value, let's say they're only worth 300 grand, that's still 1.5 million. Now, if you just continued working and let the mortgages pay themselves off, would you have an extra million and a half, but with appreciation, probably 2 or 3 million for retirement?
Yeah, your kids will really like you. A great inheritance.
Okay, you just build you just built wealth by living and simply doing basic things. Not, I hope my 401k goes up. I hope I bought, you know, I wish I.
But I'm an advocate for all those too.
I am too. Yeah. I want to put money into my 401k. I want to put money into five stocks or bonds. I want to make sure I have other things going. But the simple living, you're going to live somewhere. And everybody dreams of that slightly bigger, nicer home. Go on Instagram and TikTok and the like and look at how many videos are posted of, look at these bougie houses and look at how chic this looks. Everybody's dreaming of, you know, hey, let me remodel my home. Let me put a new kitchen in. Let me go buy a bigger home. And yet, it's not talked about as part of a budget plan. But we will listen to a news talking head that says wealth is going up. For who? For where? You know, again, that 23, 25-year-old.
Well, they say average.
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 Well, average, and average is, so they don't say the median, right? Yeah. They don't say the mode. They say the average.
Or just for those that have a house or something.
Yeah. And so really, again, you know, you look at what's possible. Okay, if you were 40 years old, could you do that same plan?
I can't remember back that far, but I think
so. Well,
you
can't. You don't remember to get a haircut for that. But, you know, if you were at 50 years old, can you go, oh, geez, man, I'm too old. I can't think about that. No, you absolutely can. You're going to live in a house anyway. You may as well start the plan and start the path.
You can do it at any age.
Yeah. But when somebody says wealth has gone up, here's the takeaway. I have two sons now in college, and I have one who's a senior in high school, and they're working part time.
You absolutely are doing something wrong.
Yeah, I know. They're working part time. They're going to school, and
they can get student loans.
Yeah, let's slow down on that. but you talk about gas to and from work.
Yeah,
gas prices are up.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, food prices are up. So when they stop to get food between college class on the way to work, that costs more. The gas costs more. You know, the oil changes cost more. And so those three boys are not getting wealthy. Their wealth is not up. They're trying to figure out, hey, Dad, you know, I got 15 hours this week, and here's how much it takes to fill the gas tank, and this is about what it takes. I'm like, jeez.
You're in trouble. You better walk.
That sucks. You know, you got no money left. You better eat Hormel chili and Top Ramen, for crying out loud.
I've been there.
We all have.
Yeah.
You know, my NAU, Hormel chili, Top Ramen, Tang. That was the staple of my existence.
Yeah.
And until we accidentally spilled one of the Tang things on the carpet.
Was that not received well?
What?
That you spilled Tang into the carpet?
No, I'm talking in the dorms. The big tub of it, that powder just went everywhere, and now you got this fine mist of orange.
Yeah.
It was awful. Sorry, David Campbell. I didn't mean to do that in the dorm room, but whatever. you know, you look and say, okay, wait a minute. Somebody says wealth went up. I want everybody to get ahead. Sure. I don't want just somebody who has money in a 401k. I don't want somebody who just comes and talks to me at Guild Mortgage. I want everybody to get ahead. And the simple plan is, do you have a one-page budget? Do you invest in real estate? And are you willing to give money to Tom and George and Adrian over at Yuma Investment Group and start putting money into an IRA or fully fund your 401k? Do all of the things that sometimes
or a college savings account in case your kids go to school.
529 plans.
No.
Now, are there tax advantages for 529 plans?
I think so. I think if you cash them out for college, you probably don't pay taxes on it.
So, you know, there is one plan that is tax advantaged here in the state of Arizona. I would tell you, talk to, you know, your financial advisor on those things. But that's hard to invest for 20 years for your kids' college. It takes discipline. And sometimes it's, man, I really would like that big 85-inch big screen TV in the house. Mm-hmm. You know what? I got to put the extra $100 a month for each kid in the bank and those kind of things. And so the budget is boring. And so since we're going to talk about that, this is time for a break. So we're going to go to some boring commercials. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com. Hey, Yuma, good morning. 8:18, Friday, July 19th. It's going to be another scorcher, over 110.
Oh, it's cool then.
Oh, geez. Are you kidding me?
No,
it's, you know, but I...
We live in Yuma.
But did you notice all of a sudden the humidity, the moisture sets in, the clouds in the morning are amazing, the sunrise. Can you even see the sunrise in here? You don't actually get out when the sun comes.
I got roof,
yeah,
you know,
no,
skylights.
An opaque skylight does not count. I'm talking seeing the sun come up and realizing, you know, look, I will say it till I'm blue in the face. We're blessed. We live in the United States. We live in really Yuma, Arizona. We live in one of the greatest places in the greatest nation on earth at the greatest time in history.
Great.
And, you know, it's just that little bit of gratitude. So here's the gratitude for me. I'm grateful that I get to be on the radio and kind of teach people budgeting and things that I wish I had learned when I was 20. You know, I think I was doing decent, but man, did I make a lot of mistakes. And you look back and say, where did that come from? You know, what kind of a dumb decision, you know, what was the emotion behind that decision? I can't fathom it. If we can teach people that and we can strengthen Yuma and get after doing some things here, look at the vibrant community we have that is still growing, and we don't have a lot of the issues that other places have. Now, we do have unique issues where other places don't have them. We have border issues, and we have, you know, huge influx of people in the wintertime, almost nobody here in the summertime. So, you know, the restaurant guys struggle in the summertime.
Oh, yeah, some of them do.
Some of them do. Well, everybody does. It's a matter of how do you get through it. So you know you're reducing staff hours. You know you're reducing staff. You know that there's your APS bill goes up, your revenue goes down. You know there's going to be issues. And so, you know, again, there's things that we deal with here that you may not deal with in other communities. However, we also have the ability to say each one teach one. You know, Russ, are you better off budgeting than, say, 80% of the people you talk to?
Yes.
Okay. How many people are you teaching budgeting?
Nobody.
Why
well,
not?
My kid. I mean, probably not a lot.
Why not?
Well, I've got more skills than just budgeting.
No,
but
I
don't have to teach them everything.
Isn't it weird, though, we still believe that mantra. We're not supposed to talk about money. We're not supposed to talk about politics. We're not supposed to talk about religion. And what are the three things that most people really need to
all three of
talk
them,
but, about?
Yeah, you know, but you just don't want to rump to Dairy Queen and tell that lady not to buy that ice cream. She doesn't need it.
I can't say that good, bad, or indifferent. I wasn't talking about health and weight.
Yeah.
I'm talking about budget.
Yeah.
And so if you said, hey, if and again, it happens in my office, happens to me too. I make decisions that I'm sure everybody listening to this could look at decisions I make and say, you know, I don't know that that was the right budgetary decision. Okay. And if I can analytically talk about it, great. If I get super defensive.
I talk like that at Cage. I mean, I do quite often mention when I see people I know can't afford it have Uber deliver their lunch. When you could have brought a sandwich.
Do you remember the old Eddie Murphy skit where he had the orange jumpsuit? He was talking about the ice cream man.
Yeah.
Okay. That's that same thing. But no, that's that convenience thing. We pay a lot of money for conveniences.
Nobody thinks about it.
But we should. You and I have talked about this numerous times from a budgeting perspective. How many apps do you pay for that you don't need the app, but you signed up for something because it was a convenience?
Well, you'll probably pay for it 10 years after you don't have the phone anymore.
Isn't that crazy that how many people, and now there's services that you download on your phone that tell you what other services you have on your phone
that you don't need.
That you don't need.
Including the one you just got.
Correct. But
I don't pay for a lot of apps. I don't do that.
Well, I'm telling you, there's people on the other side of the coin that pay for a lot of apps.
Really?
And they just don't know. You know, if you went on somebody's phone, how many people have Hulu, Netflix, Apple Music, Amazon Prime, and lots of these platforms that cross each other? Because, you know, let's say Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, do they all have video components in them?
Everyone.
Cool. But you see people who are paying for three or four.
Mm.
And, you know, not only that, but... And again, good, bad, indifferent. This is not judgmental on this. Can your phone work as a hotspot?
Yes. Okay. Mine, I never have, but it can.
But you could do that. I know people that have a separate hotspot because they don't want to use the bandwidth on their phone, but they don't use either of them enough, in my opinion, to need the hotspot. Why are you paying for a separate hotspot when the one time you happen to be somewhere, you could turn your phone on for a hotspot and you're paying whatever it is, $25-$30 a month? I don't care if you budget for that and that makes you feel good and it's a security blanket item. Great. However, that $25 a month, that's $300 a year. You could dump that into a 529 college plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the oil change in your car down at Russ's shop. That's two new tires on the front because your front wheel drive car just ran those things bald. It's that, wait a minute, I need to save something for later. So if we talk about budgeting, it is absolutely amazing how the market's going to change, and there's no problem with the way the new disclosures for real estate agents happen. It's going to look scarier because buyers are now signing forms that say they owe a lot more money. Really, the cash to close isn't going to change. And I say that because you need the minimum down payment. All the rest of it's negotiable, right? Closing costs, commissions, all that you can negotiate through a purchase price negotiate that the seller pays on behalf of the correct price. But your down payment, you have to bring in cash. A $300,000 home, 3.5% down is how much? $10,500. I'll do that.
Okay.
For you.
Yeah.
$10,000 to buy a $300,000 home is what most people are struggling
to get $10,000
to save. Most people that walk into our office, and I would counsel you,
they shouldn't buy a house.
Every lender in town is trying to put the last few dollars together to make this thing close. Talk to every real estate agent, and there's delays in closings because they don't have the assets to close, or there's another issue. $10,000 is not a huge amount of money. It is, but it's not a huge amount of money.
If your air conditioner on your home fails, that's what it's going to cost you.
You're correct.
So you better have some. You better have that available.
So the budget is, you know what? Let's pretend you're working minimum wage, $15 an hour, just to use a rough number. Yeah. $15 an hour, that's $30,000 a year, right?
Yeah.
Could you save 10% of your money, gross, not net? Could you save $3,000 a year, $250 a month, for 3 to 5 years?
Probably yes. I mean, most everybody could.
Okay, so
they don't.
They don't. Why? Because, like you said, there's a Dairy Queen. There's a fast food restaurant.
Gotta go to
the
movies.
There's, hey, we're going to San Diego this weekend. Let's, you know, we're taking everybody out to eat because we got $27 left in the bank account. I've heard somebody say, you know, we were finishing this, and one of the customers said, well, I have $73 in my other savings account. Can my wife and I go to dinner if we spend that $73?
No, they didn't.
I'm not kidding you.
It was that important? I mean, the house was secondary.
They wanted to go to Red Lobster, so they were taking the $73 out of that account to go to Red Lobster because they were hoping they had enough money in the checking account. Now, if you have to ask about the $73 in your savings
account, you're
too
tight. You're too tight.
Something needs to give. And again, I know it's boring. I know it sucks.
You can have a flat tire on the way to Red Lobster. It's going to cost you more than that.
What's a tire cost today?
$50, let's say, for a cheap tire.
Okay, yeah. Cheap tire. Now, are most people driving cars that cheap tires go on? What's a tire on a big truck?
You know? Oh, it's more like $70, $80. Plus, okay. plus insulation, balancing, all that stuff.
So you're going to say $100 a tire, flat tire, and that dinner money might have been the flat tire.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to guess most people don't realize how bald their tires are. How often do you see people coming in with those rubber bands?
Cords hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is that how often do you think? Is that once a day you see somebody with a tire that you go, geez?
Oh, it happens quite a bit. Or a tire that's 15 years old, you wonder how it still hasn't rotted out. You know?
Now, conversely, here's the fun thing. Sat down with one of my longtime customers who's become a good friend of mine. Over the last probably 12 years, this gentleman has bought 7 houses. Okay, 7 houses, 12 years, that's averaging more than one every 2 years.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So if you say, wait a minute, you're doing pretty good, you must be rich. No, he's not. The first 5 were literally what we talked about, just saving, investing. And then when he came back around, now he had enough money equity-wise in the first few that he could do a cash out refinance and pull some of that equity out to go buy another one. So he's using home number 1 and number 2 to help him buy home number 6 and number 7.
Seriously?
Yep. He followed the plan to the T. And he is not affluent. He is not rich by any means. He's building wealth. And he and his family are going to do very well because
young guy.
No, I'd call him, let's say, 55, 56.
Okay, but okay, he'll benefit from all this.
Yeah, he's going to do well, and he's got a plan to help his kids and family do well for the next few generations. It's not billionaire status. It's just building security, and that's what that budgeting difference is. He's boring. He counts his pennies, and he just did the right thing. Probably to some cajoling and snarky comments from his friends.
Sure.
You know, he drives not the nicest car. He's literally Sam Walton driving the old truck. I mean, Sam Walton could have afforded any truck he wanted, right? And yet he was driving the old Ford pickup truck. Everybody knew it, that he could afford it. But why is he driving the old truck?
Image.
Doesn't need to.
Just likes it.
That's not, you know, and
Maybe he's got a Ferrari in the garage. I'm sure.
Who knows? But, you know, you look at those things, and the budgeting thing is absolutely critical, and it's not hard. So we're going to talk about that and a couple other community things after the break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time homebuyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This is Derek Hagerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time homebuyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com. Good morning, Yuma. Derek Hagerberg, Russ Clark, talking all kinds of things. And see, he's testing me again. That's Billy Ocean. Get out of my dreams.
That's
get into my car.
That's exactly it.
You can't get me on these, I'm telling you. It's funny. I've got a couple of buddies of mine that we go to lunch 3 to 4 days a week, you know, and you go out and there's always background music. And that's literally, hey, who's this? Who's that? You're not going to get me.
I got bad news for you. I found a car that's longer than the one that you are.
Oh, what is it?
The Wienermobile by Oscar Mayer.
I want to see you drive that. I think, you know what? You could drive that around. You put the radio antenna on the Wienermobile. And
it's 27 feet long.
You know what? I think you and your dog would look magnanimous driving that around.
Not going to happen.
So, you know, let's talk about a few things community-wise. I think a lot of people know who the Caballeros are.
Yeah.
But, Russ, give me your 30-second elevator pitch.
Well, it started off with Chamber of Commerce, just as an organization that brings business into Yuma. You know, have events and have things like we started with baseball. The Midnight Oasis started up after that and all that, but the Balloon Festival to get interest in community activities, to fill hotels and to bring people in. And they're kind of like the greeters. People come into town and Caballeros will go and greet them and stuff like that. They broke away from the Chamber now. It's an independent thing, but that's their only function. And then they take, it's all nonprofit and they all work for free. And any money's earned goes back into investments in the community.
In the community. Yep. So, and you're 100% right. So it's building a better community through doing cost-effective events that you can bring the whole family out to that are kid-friendly. And you start naming them the Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival. Holiday Tower Lighting Pageant, Midnight at the Oasis Car Show.
Not a small event. And
these are huge events.
Yeah.
You know, the Bull of the Desert Strongman Competition. It's the...
I've been working for that. You know, I'm working up.
I cannot wait to... Do they now? I know they have weight classes. Do they have an out of shape class?
Well, I think they're looking. I'm looking for the age class, the over the hill class.
The over the hill class.
Yeah, that's it.
Fly the black flag and just call it good. But you look at some of these events, and here's what I would ask, and I would like some help from the community on this. So, say the Colorado River Crossing Balloon Festival. How many balloons do you typically see in a normal year?
It is
weather dependent.
25, maybe.
Okay, 25. Now, how many balloonists do you know that are based here in Yuma, Arizona?
Oh, I there's got to be four or five. I don't know.
One or two that fly. Now, so that tells you and I to the community, 23 of the 25 balloons are coming from elsewhere, whether it's Phoenix or New Jersey, somewhere else in the country. How do you get balloonists interested to bring more balloons down to Yuma, Arizona?
Have an event that they have fun at.
Okay. So, which they really do, and all the pilots talk about it. But we also need to start showing balloonists what the Yuma community looks like. So, as you start seeing more of these posts about balloons and about the Yuma community on the Cab Bureau social media sites, please help us share those out. Because, again, I would love to think that over the next few years you could put 40 or 50 balloons here. Does that mean it's a bigger event and the kids get to go experience more and it draws more attention to the community? Because what you said in the beginning was absolutely correct. If one of the missions for the Caballeros is to bring people outside the community to fill hotel rooms, to eat in our restaurants, and to provide a cost-effective, family-friendly show, if you will, you've been out to the GLOW. Have you taken your grandkids to the GLOW?
Of course. Running around like idiots.
What are their eyeballs
and
like?
And the kids do, too.
Yeah. But, you know, you go out to the GLOW, and I talked with a gentleman who's going to help put some video and stuff together for us. He's never been out there. He didn't realize you could walk around the Desert Sun Stadium in between all the balloons and take photo and video up into the canopies, the envelopes, when the burners are firing and see that. So we showed some videos of it, and he goes, oh, my gosh, that's cool. Why doesn't everybody know about it? Well, because most people don't share it and see it on social media, so those that go know, and those that don't go have no idea. So I really want to ask for the community's help. When you see things on the Cab Bureau page or they come up through the social media areas, share them and comment on them and like them and ask questions, because you say two other events, the Strongman competition. Now, The Balloon Festival is not till November. Strongman competition is in January, right?
Right.
So Strongman competition, that's a sanctioned event. That is a national strongman sanctioned event.
Yeah.
Could we get more participants down here? Because as soon as they realize that it's held on one of the military facilities, that last year they got to pull military equipment, was one of the coolest things ever to see some of these participants looking like kids in candy stores. That, oh my gosh, I get to do all these things for a sanctioned event. We need to encourage more participants to come this direction. Now, similarly, the marathon. Where does the marathon start? What's the start line and finish line?
Cocoa Paw Casino.
Cool. So Cocoa Paw, a phenomenal sponsor, a phenomenal partner with the Caballeros. And a lot of people think these events, whether it's Midnight at the Oasis, whether it's the Balloon Festival, whether it's the marathon, they think it's the city, the county. No, it's the Caballeros putting these on. But did you know that the Territorial Marathon is a Boston qualifier?
No. Well, I did know that. But
you
most
did know
people
that,
don't.
But you're not going to run it.
No.
So that Boston qualifier is literally the flattest course in the U.S. Now, yes, there is a monster climb right at the end because you start going down a hill, which means you got to end going up
it's
the
not
hill.
That big. But yeah, it'll feel that way. But, yeah.
But it's not a bougie, you know, drink beer and a rock and roll marathon like you see over in California. This is a flat out quick time Boston qualifier. What would it look like if you had more people coming into the community from outside running, more people filling hotel rooms, more people here for the weekend, you know, eating at the restaurants?
And these things are growing. They're getting good.
Yeah, there was over 500 this last year.
Is that many? Mm-hmm. Okay.
and not for the full marathon, just for the whole thing, because there's a 10K, there's a half marathon, and a full marathon. But this is where, as a community, the Caballeros would like to ask for your help. As you start seeing these pictures and images, comment on them and share them out, because we need to get people beyond Yuma to see these. When you look at, say, the car show, that's one of the nicest car shows in the country, and it's on grass. It's not on asphalt. It's not on hot concrete somewhere. You know, it's a place that you can walk around with your kids and just talk to the people, and it's a very laid-back environment, and you get to talk to all the car guys and gals for 3 days, and it's fun, but it's cost-effective. It's not like some of these shows that you go spend a lot of money to get in and a lot of money to eat. Is the food very expensive at midnight at the Oasis?
No, it's a lot of Rotary clubs and others that get together and stuff like that.
Point number two, if you look at what the Caballeros are doing, and this is where, again, trying to help the community see some of these things, the entire food court at midnight at the Oasis, is that service organizations or is it?
I think it's all service.
You are correct.
It's all service. And they've been, I mean, it's hard to get in because there's only so many slots, and believe me, it's coveted. And those that come in do a great job, or they wouldn't come back.
They do a great job. So we as the Caballeros could not put on that event without all of the participation of the sponsors and all of the service organizations. But that's also our way of saying this organization will allow you to have a fundraiser. Your food booth is what goes in. So
and a lot of them, it's their biggest of the year.
Mm-hmm. And so they don't have the struggle to put the event on. They have their struggle to put their food booth on. And let's be honest, those are a lot of work as well.
Oh, my gosh. It would be. There's a lot of food going through there.
Yeah. So you look at what the community does to put these things together. And for the people who don't see that this is a service organization putting these events on for the betterment of the community and other service organizations, it's a big deal, and that's what we want to start talking about and get people outside the Yuma community to help participate in these events. So, you know, dream for me as one little old man over in a corner, I'd love to see 50 balloons over the next few years, and that would be way more work for the organization. I'd love to see 1,000, 2,000 runners. You know, that would be a huge deal for the organization, but it would also be more hotel rooms, more people in restaurants, et cetera. What would it look like if you had not 25 or 30 competitors, but 300 or 400 competitors in all different weight classes, and Russ Clark will be out there lifting?
I'm gonna find a weight class I could fit into.
Yeah. That could go so many. And here's the takeaway. The guys and, you know, the organization itself, it's not about, hey, Russ, good job. You're part of the organization. It's sit down, shut up, do the work, and go home exhausted at the end of the night. But know that all of the events that we used to love as youth in the community, I loved going to midnight at the Oasis. With
my daughter grew up at that, you know, and I was always doing something, whether it was parking or collecting money for the banks or whatever. She was always right with me. I mean, that's her memories.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps bugging me to take the grandkids, you know.
I told you to bring them out. Ditched me this last year because you went to, was it CPAC?
CPAC.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But same thing. My three boys, they're like, Dad, is it that time of year again? they love it.
See, my daughter loved it.
Well,
she couldn't wait.
They love it, but they do a lot of work helping set things up and then go do your stuff. But, you know, now they get to help drive cars and put stuff away. Or, you know, there's just a lot of things that as you look forward, we've got events over the next 6-9 months that are still being planned for. Just finished the 4th of July flag raising, and there was a great addition to that this last year. Now, the flag retirement ceremony. You know what? That took an extra 30 minutes worth of work, but
it's such a big flag.
Well, yeah. Don't you want a big flag?
Of course. Just more work.
You know, the community itself would love to see 500 or 600 people out there. In, you know, next year, maybe 1,000 the year after, because really what we're saying is we support this country, we support this community, we support the military men and women who are out there. You know, how often do you get to listen to the commanding officer to one of the two military installations?
They always do it.
And they're there willing to extend a hand and greet you as a friend and talk to you. Yeah. And most of the time, you and I have no idea who the commanding officer is. You may hear a name, you may see something in the paper, but, you know, these people are there willing to talk to the community.
They rotate in and out. They're always just great people. Yeah. We've always had great commanders.
And you see some of the support, you know, who the rifle line, and I know that's not the right terminology, but the three gun volley was YPD this year. Thank you very much for YPD supporting the organization, and they did a great job, and we got some of that on video. You know, have your grandkids ever seen a three-round volley?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many kids have it?
Most.
Yeah. You know, come out, support, do those things. So as you see things on social media, I would just have a personal ask for the organization. Share them. Comment on them. Talk about things you like. If you have a suggestion, you know, send us a message. Call down to Marissa at the office, 343-1715. And, you know, let's get involved and share these things so it goes beyond the border of Yuma. And at the same time, there's still sponsorship opportunities. There's still things that, you know, if you want to help get involved in a way, there's lots of things that you can do. Talk to Marissa down at the office. Talk to Jeff Kamen, who's the sponsorship chair. But most importantly, look at how, and so interesting to hear some of the stories. Do you remember how many cars were at the first Midnight at the Oasis?
I've heard the stories, but it was like 100 or something.
Yeah, it was like 25.
Is it 25? Okay. I wasn't there.
How many vehicles are out there now?
It's up to 1,000, I think. I know it hung around 800. They squeezed more in, and it's up to, I think, about
just 1,000. A skosh. You know, call it 1,000 is the absolute maximum if every car is parked with field X and things like that. And you think, wow, from 25 humble little cars to 1,000 vehicles over now 4 days, because now, super cool. Where does Midnight at the Oasis start?
Main Street?
Main Street, downtown. Yeah. So Thursday is now a permanent.
You're really quizzing me, man.
Well, I figure if I ask you, then I don't have to know the answers. That's how that works. But no, you know, you look at these things, and for this organization called the Caballeros de Yuma, getting people beyond Yuma to see what some of these events are and participate, because truly, if we attract more people into the community, bringing their dollars in, not unlike... Do we really like the snowbirds coming in every winter? Yes, they bring lots of
tax. Oh, I thought you were asking me. I was going to say no.
No, I know you're going to say no. Yeah. Because you're so busy at your job, you can't put any more cars in the shop, for crying out loud. No. Drive by and you got like 50 cars waiting in line in your parking lot.
Yes, and we need to treat them right. Some people get frustrated. That's wrong.
It's tax revenue coming in. Yeah. It's wages that we're supporting. I mean, and they really do help this
community.
They
do a lot of volunteerism themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they fill a lot of these areas. Volunteers.
With Midnight at the Oasis, the more car guys and gals we invite into the community, the more hotel rooms we fill. Look at every hotel during that time. You know, it's kind of like dove hunting season. Does every hotel fill up during dove season? Cool. Same exact thing. It's this weekend filling hotels for all of the providers, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's how many meals do they eat both at the event and they go drive their car to some restaurant somewhere and have a meal.
Well, they have
somewhere.
To, because they're not good hunters. They end up having to buy food.
Well, now you're talking about the dove hunters. I was talking about the car guys and gals. So, again, balloonists. Okay, if you're attracting balloonists into town, let's say there's 50. That's not just 50 people. That's 50 people plus their crew that a lot of them bring crews in.
Yep.
You know, so there's other things to do, and you look at how members of the community step up. You know, tip of the hat to Yvonne Peach down to Yuma Landing. She always helps do the pilot reception. She always is very gracious helping the pilots have rooms there. Super fun to keep it local and to have people involved in the organization. And if you had 50 more balloons come in, 100 more balloons, and I know it's never going to be like the Albuquerque Balloon Festival. That would be ludicrous. However, what would it look like if you had 50 or 100 more balloons come in? Would that be one of those things that helps Yuma one more time put themselves on the map? And Yuma's a great community. I believe in Yuma. I know you believe in Yuma. Mm-hmm. Why have you given so many years of yourself to that organization?
Because I think it's good for Yuma, and I do business here, and I want Yuma to grow, my business grows, you know, those kind of things. And it's good for my kids. It's good for the future for Yuma. and for all those reasons, you know, to take care of the communities.
What are one or two things that you've seen the organization work and struggle to do that was hard work that you wish the community saw more of?
Well, I think Midnight Oasis is hard work. Believe me, I've been on all of it. I've done all of it. But anyone they do, and it starts a year out. It doesn't start like the day before. It starts a year out just planning and logistics and what do we need to buy to do it? Who do we need to get help? What organizations are going to get together? And we're talking dozens and dozens of organizations. And then who's going to hit up each different function, you know, whether it's the vendors or the parking or whatever, to coordinate all that through Captain Midnight. That takes a year to put together. Well, and I, you know, Midnight Oasis has a bunch of A-type business people that, you know, make it look not easy, but they make it
type A, high D, jack wagons.
Yeah, they pretty much are. Yeah. And but they make it look like it's fun.
And truly,
you know, it is.
It is a lot of fun, and you go home gassed every night. You're just spent.
There's times I didn't get home much at all. I mean, I had a truck that I slept in the back of out there sometimes.
And just, you look like it too.
And holy my daughter did at the time. She'd just go sleep in the truck.
Yeah,
which was fun. I mean, it was just a wonderful opportunity.
And let's flip the script for a minute. One of the shorter events that is still not unlike that is the holiday pageant and tower lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the community loves the Christmas tree, loves to see that season.
The dancers and all that.
But that's not an easy event to put on because you're orchestrating all of these dance and choral groups and things. But it's only about an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minute long show, if you will. But that's one that you could bring the kids out to, have some hot chocolate, let's sing some Christmas carols. And
there's hundreds of dancers,
yeah,
you know, from all the different groups in town. And they love doing it because it's an opportunity for them to shine,
show off a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fun community event for us to kick off the holiday Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
But that's 6 months worth of work. That's orchestrating who's going, who's not going, checking to make sure that the electrical is all working, that everything is up to snuff, coordinating with the city. I mean, there's a lot of other things that have to happen to put all of these events on. And when I say, you know, some of the things you wish people saw, the amount of hours that are put in, volunteer hours, with something like Midnight at the Oasis, you know, thousands of hours.
Yeah.
And then
we pay them.
The volunteer organizations, you know, the volunteer organizations that we donate money back to them. You look at how often do you see trash anywhere on the grass during Midnight at the Oasis?
Well, they're constantly policing. I think it's the Boy Scouts that generally do that, you know.
So to your point, you know, you go to Disneyland and there's always the guys and gals in the white outfit that are picking up trash all over the place. And you very rarely see anything. You very rarely see any trash out there on the grass. It's just a fun event. But that doesn't happen without an army of people going out just routinely walking around picking up trash, or an army of people who are bringing liquids in so people have drinks, for crying out loud. Because let's be honest, if it's a warm day, you almost can't keep the water and the soda stocked well enough.
There's a lot of golf carts running around.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, the amount of hours and fun, sarcastic, jack wagon-ish blood, sweat, and tears that goes into this, that's what I would like to see more of those shots. You know, let me see a picture of El Prez just absolutely tired as all get out, sitting, taking a 5 minute breather just before you go back out and put the face on. Or, you know, Russ Clark finally having to spray some chloroseptic in his throat because he's absolutely, you know, hoarse because he's been talking for 20 hours straight.
Never.
We know. You'll never shush up. So, you know, again, here's what I would like and the ask for the community. Please, when you see the Caballero stuff, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine yards, share it. Comment on it.
Everywhere.
Push it out. Because we would like to see this start growing way beyond our community. And you know, as you start seeing some of the revisions to the webpage, there will be more videos to look at, more pictures to go peruse. The winners from previous, you know, events, whether it's Strongman, the Marathon, Mato, things that we can be engaged with, because the more engagement we have, then if you're a competitor, do you want to know that the community supports the organization before you come into the community? Absolutely. If you're a balloonist, if you're a pilot coming in, do you want to know that it's a amazing community with things to do and things to see?
Of course.
Well, but look at how the news media portrays Yuma, Arizona. Oh, it's hotter than Phoenix. It's always this, you know, it's hotter than Phoenix.
But it's not.
But it's, no, for crying out loud, the last month, we've been way cooler than Phoenix. That concrete jungle is going to be a nightmare just based on the amount of heat retention that they have. So lots of things would like to ask for that help. And here's the extension of a hand. If you have help or you need some help, whether it's budgeting or advice for buying a home or just a random question, call me at the office, call Rose at the office, call Bill at the office, call Ray at the office, 247-9089. These are the kind of conversations, just random, get a cup of coffee and let's ask questions, because I think most people are so scared to ask and look like they don't know.
And I would suggest you go do that, even if you're not ready to buy a house today, but you know you're going to buy one in a year or two, start getting set up. What do I need to be? How much money do I need? What does my credit score need to look like? How do I get there?
Similar to the way the Caballero organization works on Mato a year out, I would rather work on somebody's credit and income and get them ready a year out, because you might be shocked and 6 months later you find the dream home and it's the right price and you're ready to go. The hard part is, oh my gosh, that's the right home. That's the one I really want. Oh, geez, I wish I'd started 6 months ago because there's something wrong with my credit, or I didn't know what I didn't know.
You didn't have the down payment.
Yeah. So, you know, again, if you have questions or you have somebody in your immediate sphere of influence that has questions, have them come over. I promise there's no judgmentalness. You know, even though we talk budgets and things of silly decisions, I promise you I have made more silly decisions than most people. But you just have to say, okay, that was a dumb decision. Let me fix it. Here's how we fix it. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you'll be glad to do that.
Yeah, that's the fun part. It really is. It's, you know.
But it's there's no mystery about it. You know, you can take that away and buying a house and what needs to be done and how to do it. It's each little step's kind of simple. It just looks overwhelming when
one
it's all put together.
One plus one is always two. Yeah. It's just a matter of, am I willing to start with one plus one and then add the next? You know, most people want to go find the home and then find out if they're qualified for a mortgage.
No.
Most people want to put a contract in and then figure out if they can save up the down payment. No. And you'd be surprised how many pre-qual forms that you see floating around there that the real estate agents have that say, have you seen their assets? No. Hey, have you seen their credit?
VA loans are still no money down, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. And that's a big advantage, assuming you can afford the payments.
Mm-hmm. And
the interest rate's still going to be 7.5%.
Interest rates on VA and FHA are typically cheaper than conventional. VA has no mortgage insurance. It's the cheapest loan per dollar on the planet. That would be the way I would go every time if I have VA eligibility.
Right.
So, and on those notes, you know, again, from everybody at Guild Mortgage, everybody here at KBL Yuma, everybody within this community, if you are serving, have served, a family member served, thank you so very much for providing the safety and security for this country. I think those types of things become very evident with what happened this last week to President Trump. You know, we have a need for safety and security in this country, and the men and women that put on the uniforms that a lot of these people are willing to take bullets for you and I, there's not enough we can do for you. So for all of us, thank you so very much. Stay safe. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye for now.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.